RNZ Pacific News, Kam Namari, I'm Silmanu Chevam Tao Fai. A judge in Kiribati may face deportation later this week after a tribunal ruled he should be removed from his post. The tribunal's report has just been tabled in the Kiribati Parliament and is due to be debated by MPs later this week, the last week of the current parliament ahead of the general election. Don Wiseman has more.
It found that Judge David Lanbourne should be removed as a puny judge of the Kiribati High Court because of his failure to file a timely written decision on a civil case 4 years ago. It dismissed three other allegations against him for lack of evidence, but also accepted reports that he had bullied a 57-year-old staffer by yelling at him. President Tani's Mamao had been instrumental in the establishment of the tribunal, and with his party dominating the parliament, MPs could well vote to have Mr. Lanbourne deported immediately. Mr. Lanbourne is the husband of the Kiribati opposition leader, Tessie Lanbourne.
In a social media post this morning, Samoa's Ministry of Health has issued advice for people to prevent dengue fever. Samoa has had 206 laboratory confirmed cases since November last year and 82 new cases in the 2 weeks to April 14th. A map of cases from November 12th to April 14th shows the most cases in the Apia urban area and northwest Upolu. There are villages with reported cases dotted around the rest of Samoa. The Ministry of Health recommends cleaning up stagnant water sources, wearing clothing to minimise mosquito bites, and using mosquito nets and repellents. Meanwhile, the leader of the Samoa Opposition Party and former Prime Minister has formally requested to appear in person to advocate for the repealing of the contentious Western Samoa Citizenship Act 1982. Tuila Epase Lele Malieng Lengaoi hopes to appear before the New Zealand Select Committee looking at the matter. Susana Suisuiki reports.
A private members' bill initiated by Green Party MP Te Anau Tuiono would provide entitlement to New Zealand citizenship for a group of people born in the then Western Samoa and repeal the law that took their citizenship away. The Samoa Observer reports Tuila Epa was travelling to New Zealand on Tuesday for a Human Rights Protection Party function and will use the opportunity to appear before the Select Committee. He says appearing in person will allow for a more comprehensive and impassioned plea.
However, Te Anau Tuiono told RNZ he was unaware of any visit. All votes were expected to have been counted by this morning in the Solomon Islands' first joint elections. On Tuesday afternoon, the chief electoral officer told RNZ Pacific 90% of votes were in. Jesper Anisi says the next step is verification.
Checking the numbers, checking the voter turnouts and all these things. And once that is done, then we send notice back to the Attorney General for vetting and gazetting, and then we gazette it. Once it's gazetted, then we send it back to the Governor General and to the Clerk of Parliament, and then the next part starts the formation of government.
The Speaker of the New Zealand Parliament, Jerry Brownlee, is in Niue with several MPs. During the four-day visit, the members of parliament were set to meet with youth representatives, village councillors and leading women figures on the island. Today, the delegation was to hold discussions with the members of the Niue Assembly. On Anzac Day tomorrow, Mr. Brownlee and his delegation will be hosted by the Niue RSA for the Dawn Parade at the National War Memorial in central Alofi. The delegation will leave Niue on Friday. A new hydrogen fueling station has opened in Auckland, powering heavy freight semi-trucks with clean hydrogen energy. The hydrogen pump was unveiled at an existing Waitomo fuel station in Woody and is one of three hydrogen fuel stops in the North Island. Currently, there's only two trucks and a growing bus fleet that can use the hydrogen-powered fuel stop. Andrew Cleaner, the chief executive of Hiringa Energy, the company behind the network, says the station has capacity for 60 trucks a day.
We could do up to 60 trucks from this station, and that is taking 60 trucks off the road. And that's each truck's equivalent to taking between 100 and 150 cars off the road.
Andrew Kleinert says the hydrogen is manufactured on-site using renewable electricity. Four spears taken from Aboriginal people by the 18th century British explorer Captain James Cook on the day he arrived in Australia are being returned. They're the first artefacts collected by a European from any part of Australia. The BBC's Noor Nanji has more details.
The spears were taken from the villages of the Gweegal people living at Kami, the Aboriginal name for Botany Bay, in 1770 and given to Trinity College the following year. They've been held by Cambridge University's Museum of Archaeology and Anthropology since early in the 20th century. Trinity College made the decision to repatriate them after discussions between the museum and the La Perouse Aboriginal community, representatives of the Gweegal people and the broader Dharawal nation.
Direct descendants of the Gweegal people who crafted the spears more than 250 years ago were to be present at the ceremony in Trinity's Wren Library. New Zealand and American researchers have found part of the West Antarctic ice sheet could survive if global carbon emissions are reined in. They have found that a combination of dense, salty water and uplift in the earth could stop ice from the Sipol coast area melting into the Ross Sea if global heating is kept well below 2 degrees above pre-industrial temperatures. The researchers led by GNS Science say that is important because the West Antarctic ice sheet contains enough water to raise sea levels by more than 5 metres. NASA says its Voyager 1 probe has started sending usable information back to Earth again after months of spouting gibberish. At more than 20 billion kilometres away, the spacecraft is the most distant man-made object in the universe. It was launched nearly half a century ago and left the solar system in 2012. The BBC's Matthew Carter reports.
Voyager 1, which was launched in 1977, is currently more than 15 billion miles from Earth. But remarkably, it can still communicate with NASA, even if it does take nearly a day for messages to be sent or received. But in November last year, a malfunctioning chip in the craft's computer caused it to start sending back nonsense rather than useful scientific data. Engineers say that's now resolved, thanks to a clever coding fix. Voyager 1 is expected to continue collecting data until sometime after next year, when its batteries run out.
In sports, Fijian Indoor women's coach Mosese Arauluni says his team cannot afford to give away penalties to the Waratahs in their Super W competition final on Sunday. Rauluni says the New South Wales franchise have proven to be consistent this year and they will be tough to beat.
New South Wales, obviously, you know, they're very sharp in their attack and a very fit side. And like the Fiji, they like to run the ball. Their skill set has been outstanding this year. I've been watching a lot of their games and, you know, they really function well as a group. A big thing is for us, we have to get our set piece right and cut down our mistakes and penalties. Like any opportunities you give New South Wales in this game is going to cost us.
The Fijian Indroa women meet the Waratahs in Brisbane on Sunday afternoon. Hurricanes utility back Asar Lesi Arayasi says he's open to play for the Flying Fijians if he gets the call-up. His father Felipe was a former Flying Fijian. The Fiji Sun newspaper says Arayasi has been waiting for 3 years to play for the team his dad was in. Arayasi, who was in Suva last week with the Hurricanes, says he is excited about the possibility of playing for Fiji. He is also eligible for the All Blacks. That's your latest RNZ Pacific News and Sport. For more stories, go to rnzi.com.